Father, as we bow down this morning before you, what a glorious opportunity to come and to pray. And as we begin this morning, we want to praise you with this song and then look at one of the unbelievable prayers in the Bible where you approach the Father as they were pounding the nails into you there on the cross. And so help us to glean what you would have us to glean from your word this morning, and then apply it during our time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Well, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 23. We're going to pray the Jabez prayer this morning to enlarge our territory. Peggy's moving clear across the room. We have been the last couple of times that I was here, and by the way, thank you for praying. I had a wonderful trip to a couple of national conferences, which is great when you can hit two conferences in one trip, and Russia and Ukraine, and so the Lord was exalted, and I think it was a blessed time. It was the first time in both conferences that an hour of prayer was scheduled each and every morning before breakfast, and so I led those and just like this shared a little bit of the Bible, and then we prayed for an hour, about 20-25 minutes in a group, and then we broke down into groups of three so everybody could pray. And we had about 75 each morning in St. Pete, and over 100 each morning, 150 or so in the Ukraine. So that's pretty good for early morning, because they'd never done it before, and they were so excited to be able to pray. And they said they were stretched, because they really weren't used to praying in big groups, and then they weren't used to starting the day in prayer. And so people said, "Man, the day goes better when you start in prayer." I said, "Yeah." So we're all the same everywhere. We know it's good to pray, but do we pray? And do we start every day in prayer? And but it is a blessing when we can. So in Luke 22, we had the prayer in the garden, and we had Jesus in such agony. He was sweating great drops of blood, and we looked at that last time. Now we move on to the cross, or near the cross, and as they're getting ready to nail him, or as they're nailing him on the cross, we have this first of seven statements on the cross. We have three of them given to us, two in Luke, but this is the first. And in verse 34 we read, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Now, there's a number of things that jump out at us here, it would seem. You notice first the humanity of Jesus. He's, as a man now, dying on the cross for our sins and undoing what the man Adam did with his sin. And so Jesus can forgive sins as the Son of God. We know that. He made a point of that with the people, where they said only God can forgive sins, and basically he was showing that he is God. But here on the cross, he's a man. He is dying as a man. He's not dying as the Son of God. He's dying as a man. And as he prays here on the cross, he cries out, "Father." He doesn't just tell the people, "I'll forgive your sins," but he cries out to Father. And that is so important for us, because we're not God either, are we? We're people. We cry out, "Father." And I want to look just basically at two main things this morning. We could spend some time on the importance of Jesus forgiving them, because otherwise they could be really receiving the penalty of an unforgivable sin, it would seem. And we see here that later, after the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, thousands came to the Lord, and it would certainly must have included some of these people here who were present at his crucifixion So he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the two things I want to look at for you and for me, first, good for evil. Notice this good for evil, which we see as an example here of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at the scripture and we can find it once, it's important. When we can find it twice, it seems to be even more important. When we can find it three times or more, it's even more important. And good for evil, in Romans 12, 17, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, and 1 Peter 3, 9, in all of those three references, we are told, repay no one evil for evil. And so we're told that over and over. Now, Satan is the opposite. He returns evil for good. The world basically returns what they get. If they get evil, they return evil. If they get good, they return good. But Jesus' way is opposite of Satan and really different from the world, and that's returning good for evil. And so think of your life. How willing are you to return good for evil? Is that kind of your practice, or is it happen once in a while, or does it ever happen? Something to consider. Then I want to look at forgiveness. I think forgiveness is a very critical element here that we may not really understand totally. Again, three different times in the scripture, we're told the importance of forgiveness, that if we don't forgive our sins will not be forgiven. Can you be saved if your sins are not forgiven? I don't think so. How can you be saved if your sins aren't forgiven? So, how willing are you to forgive? That's an indication to me how strong your position in Christ really is, how strong your spiritual state is. If you can't forgive others, it would seem, in a sense, you're not saved. Because if we recognize what Christ has done for us and the great forgiveness he has given us for such a great debt, and we are not able then to forgive somebody for a very small thing, we're right back to the parable, aren't we? This is one of the three places in the scriptures. Matthew 6:15 we have with the model prayer, where we're told, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. That's the only petition out of those six petitions in that prayer that Jesus repeats at the end of the prayer, really for emphasis. And then we go on a few chapters more to Matthew 18. After the Mount of Transfiguration, he gives this parable where there were two guys, you know, who had the debt. One had a huge debt and was forgiven, and the other had a small debt and wasn't forgiven. And the one who had the small debt that wasn't forgiven, What happens here? We see Jesus tells him that he will be thrown out and terrible into terrible anguish. So we don't want to go there, do we? His master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due. And then Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Pretty important, isn't it? Then in Mark chapter 11, following the triumphal entry, this is another occasion totally unrelated to these other two. There, Jesus has just cursed the fig tree, you know, for no fruit, and it dries. And then the very next thing we read, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So what does this mean to you and to me? It means we need to look at our hearts and see how willing are we to forgive. How willing are you to forgive? Now, in this prayer, we see several things here. First, I think we see we need to address and how Jesus addressed Father. In the model prayer also, he said, in this manner pray, our Father who art in heaven. Here he is calling on the Father. He is saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We need to come to him in reverence and confidence as children would come to a father. Secondly, we must beseech or beg God for ourselves and others the forgiveness of sins, because the forgiveness of sins is the most important thing there is. That's what separates us from the Lord. We need to forgive and need to have prayers for forgiveness of sins. And then thirdly, we see Jesus praying for his enemies. We need to pray for our enemies. So the scripture tells us to be thankful for all things, and it also shows us we're to pray for those who are coming against us. So whatever problem is in your life today, whatever thorn is in your life, thank the Lord for it. And you may have a difficult time doing that, but the quicker you can begin to thank the Lord for your problems, the quicker you will see them taken away, see the Lord changing you through them. And one of the big things is to pray for the point of the thorn that's coming at you, right? And so oftentimes when you tell people that, they say, I could never pray for forgiveness for that person. They've hurt me so badly. But that is really a selfish point of view, isn't it? Because again, if we look back to the debt that the Lord has forgiven us, it's so huge. And this thing that is hurting us, has hurt us, is relatively speaking very small. So as we go to prayer here this morning, we want to pray for the lost. They really are in that situation. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Our leaders, we can see that all over the world. They don't really know what they're doing. They have no fear of God in their eyes. And they're just leading their people into terrible bondage and all. And yet, even at that, we see the Lord using the bondage to cause the people to turn to him. So it's all an eternal issue, and we want to keep our minds there. And so as we leave here this morning, though, and continue to pray, keep in mind, are we returning good for evil? And do we have a willing heart to forgive? Father, we thank you for this study this morning, or this example this morning of the first and one of the great things that you said on the cross, Lord Jesus, under circumstances that none of us will ever even come close to approaching, the difficulty that you were put through compared to what we think our biggest difficulties are. And yet you were able to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Lord, here we are. We want to come to you, addressing you as Father. We want to come to you praying for forgiveness of our sins and for the sins of others. And though, as saved people, you have paid the price for our sins, we still have that ability in these bodies until we get our glorified body to continue to sin because we choose to sin. And so forgive us for that, Lord. We need you every hour. We need you every minute. But we want to ask for pardon for those sins, for forgiveness of those sins, and come to you clean this morning and be able to intercede for others and asking for forgiveness for them, Lord. And so guide us now in this prayer as we pray for our pastor, as we pray for our church here, as we pray for the church at large in this country and throughout the world, as we pray for our leaders. So many things to pray for, Lord. As we know, we're in very desperate times with the evil of the world growing and growing, and yet, Lord, we see your hand moving, and we know we're getting closer and closer to that day that we'll be with you, either as the whole body of Christ at once during the rapture or one by one as you take us home. In any case, the destination is going to be the same. It's just a question of timing. And, Lord, we'll soon be standing in front of you, held accountable for how we spent these precious days that you've given us here on earth. And so lead us now in this time of prayer. Lord, I know that there are those here who have great burdens of their own, but Lord, meet those needs today. And may we just say, Lord, we just turn this over to you. Give me a forgiving heart. And Lord, I just want to set that aside and set myself aside for a moment and just join in the small body here. Not large in numbers, but I pray great in strength of committing to you and redeeming this time. So lead us now, Lord, as we respond to your spirit in prayer in Jesus' name.